Our Bible study tonight is out of Acts chapter 13, verses 4 through 12, God's strong support for the spiritually receptive. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. Accordingly, we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the early church era as it is presented in the book of Acts. One concern that professing believers have expressed, in fact, this happened, I think, this morning in the adult Sunday school class, is the difficult spiritual state of people who are heavily influenced by evil parties around them not to believe God's truth. Well, in answer to this concern, Acts 13, 4-12 displays God's leading Paul to support an unsaved but very receptive government official who was influenced by a man who strongly opposed that truth and Satan's power. So we view the passage for our insight and our edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Acts 13, verses 4 through 12. So they, that's Paul and Barnabas, and then John Mark who went along with them. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed west to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, which is on the eastern coast of Cyprus, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John Mark as their helper. And when they had gone through the island unto Paphos, which is on the western shore, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy, or the legal proconsul of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man or intelligent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy or the proconsul from them, from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the teaching or the doctrine of the Lord. Acts chapter 13, 4 states that the Holy Spirit was behind the sending of Barnabas and Saul by the elders of the church of Antioch. And of course, Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3 revealed that. Remember Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit spoke to the elders there at the church and said, you set apart Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. And they sent them forth, they laid hands on them and sent them out. So they traveled by land from Antioch down to the seaport of Seleucia, and then they sailed from there to Cyprus. Now, why did they go to Cyprus? Well, that's a natural destination because that's the homeland of Barnabas. Barnabas said, you know, we need a lot of missionary work on my home island of Cyprus, so let's go. Let's go to Cyprus. And so they went to Cyprus. Very interesting. Arriving at Salamis, which is on the eastern coast of Cyprus, Barnabas and Saul preached in the Jewish synagogues, moving westward through the island until they came to Paphos on the western shore of Cyprus. Now at Paphos, they encountered a magician. The Greek word is magos. It's a fraudulent wizard, and often this is used of people who are into types of a demonic sorcery, where they're probably trafficking with demons and seeking to get information from. It's very wicked. He was also a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Bar is the Aramaic term for son, so he's the son of Jesus. In those days, Jesus meant Joshua, so he was the son of that man, who was with the island's proconsul, Sergius Paulus, who had been appointed a leader of Cyprus by the Roman Senate. A procurator like Pontius Pilate was appointed by the emperor, but sometimes the Senate, the Roman Senate, which is a republic, in a republican form of government, selected less important leaders, and so this man was selected by the Roman Senate. That's why he was a proconsul, not a procurator. And he was a man of intelligence who summoned Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. Now, this is a man, he's not a believer. He doesn't know the Lord yet, but he's interested. Now, it's interesting to see what God does with this man. He's an unbeliever, but he's interested. See what God does. However, Bar-Jesus, whose surname was also Elymas. Bar-Jesus is apparently his Aramaic name. Elymas was the name that was given to Bar-Jesus by Greek-speaking acquaintances. He tried to turn the proconsul away from the Christian faith. However, and I have to reword this, Paul, his Gentile name that was given him at birth along with his Jewish name Saul. See, he was named, he had both a Jewish name and a Gentile name. It wasn't the issue of nickname. Saul would have been Jewish because remember King Saul in the Old Testament. So his Jewish name is Saul. But his Gentile name is Paul. In fact, in the New Testament, his name is actually the same as the procurator, as the proconsul here, Paulus. Paulus is the Greek term. In understanding Gentile minds better than Barnabas, led by the Holy Spirit, suddenly took the lead in strongly confronting Elymas. He set his eyes on him, addressing Elymas as the son of a devil, an enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, who did not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. Sorcery, exercising power by the help and control of demons, had led him into all kinds of deception of others and distortion of the truth. So the occult is indeed dangerous. It's interesting how the apostle Paul at this point, his name is Paul, it's interesting, it says, verse 9, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who was leading Paul to do this. And the Holy Spirit is kicking in because he wants Paul to come to the defense of Sergius Paulus so that Sergius Paulus can come to know the Lord. So God is already very strongly protecting. He's an unbeliever, but he's open. So this is interesting what God is doing. Paul predicted that the hand of the Lord was upon Elymas so that he would be blind. He would be unable to see the sun for a period of time. Accordingly, there immediately fell a mist and a darkness upon him, and Elymas went about seeking people to lead him by the hand, because he was blind. This obvious divine punishment of Elymas showed the proconsul that the gospel that Paul and Barnabas were proclaiming was the truth, was powerful, a truth of the powerful God, who was greater than what Elymas served, and that Elymas was indeed serving the devil. So the proconsul believed Christ's gospel and was saved. This is so very important. This man needed some evidence to give credibility to the fact that Paul was preaching the truth, and so the Lord provided it. I honestly believe that any person who's genuinely seeking the truth, God will get him the truth, and he will make it believable to that person so he has the choice. Sergius Paulus was astonished at the teaching of the Lord through this event, showing how the Holy Spirit had spiritually protected him through Paul's ministry, that in his openness to the gospel he might believe it and be saved. So we don't have to be afraid that a person who may be surrounded even by people who are influenced by Satan, that somehow is going to cloud that person from being able to trust the Lord. God knows how to get through to a person who's open and who really wants the truth. I've heard many a testimony of people who've come to Nepog Church over the years who came from realms of background where they had no biblical knowledge, but they wanted to know the truth. And through such an enormous roundabout way, God led them to come to know the truth. So God is very, very protective of people who really want the truth. So when the wicked Jewish false prophet Elymas, who was also involved in demonic sorcery, sought to influence the proconsul of Cyprus, who was open to the gospel of Christ, not to believe it to be saved, God the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, publicly confronted and condemned Elymas to suffer blindness for a period of time, to certify the credibility of the gospel to the proconsul that he might believe in Christ to be saved. So in application, if unsaved people are open to the gospel, even if demonically influenced people around them try to discredit the gospel to block such folk from believing it, God the Holy Spirit will work to provide the evidences necessary to show to the unsaved that the gospel is true, that they might believe it to be saved. Now, this principle actually also applies to believers who are surrounded by others who try to influence them to reject certain Bible truths. If believers are open to the truth, God the Holy Spirit knows how to persuade them of the truth's credibility, regardless of peer pressure to the contrary. Now, if we face foes who try to discredit us in our ministries, we must use the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has given us to succeed in ministry. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, Paul says, "Fan into flame the gift that God has given you." God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And 1 Corinthians 12, 11, we each have received a gift from the Lord. And if we use that gift, we are guaranteed to have success with it. So relying on efforts that fail to use the spiritual gift that God gave us is a recipe for failure in the angelic conflict. This past week, I've been in contact with believers who have been in our church and who have been exposed to church ministries outside of our church in other states. And they've been disillusioned by what they've seen in these other church situations. A lot of times they're just not preaching the truth, or it's very, very shallow, and they're just concerned, very, very concerned about it. And both of these parties have come back and have spoken to me and expressed their appreciation for their ministry at NEPOG, the whole ministry of the church as a whole. In fact, they said, "We're probably not going to find a church like NEPOG." That's true. NEPOG is unique. But it was a pleasure to hear these people say this. And they are very concerned about other people that they know who need to be discipled effectively for the Lord. But what is also more important than that, at one time, both of these parties had come together, had come into my office, and had critiqued a sermon that I'd preached because they thought that I was really wrong in how I'd handled the word or how the subject that I'd handled and everything. And I remember thinking at the time, I wish I could convince them that God called me to this ministry, and that particular sermon I know I got from the Lord, because, you know, there were so many evidences of the Lord. But they were so convinced that I was off the wall, I thought the best thing to do is keep my little mouth shut and listen. So I did, kept it shut and listened. And I figured this is going to have to be for the Lord to deal with. Well, the Lord since has dealt with it. And both parties are now very appreciative of the ministry at NEPOG Church. I was blown away in realizing this. God has the capacity to provide the credibility that is needed so that somebody can carry on and have a ministry. In this case, it happened to me, but this happens a lot in other cases as well. We never have to be concerned about having credibility if God is using us to serve him. If we're serving him, God will make us believable. He'll make what we're saying believable to people. And God knows how to protect people who are interested in the truth so that they will indeed come to know the truth and believe in him. I was just thinking of another person who had come from a background, it was actually an atheistic, agnostic background. And they went from that into a Catholic church. They went from a Catholic church into an evangelical church, but it was an evangelical church that wasn't really true, wasn't holding to the truth. And by this time, the person was really, really disillusioned. So they looked at our church online, they saw it, and at first they were impressed, but then they visited us, and we were so weird because we had a cross, there was no body of Jesus on the cross. And since we were so different, they went on their way. Well, eventually, the Lord led them to come back, and now they're a part of our church, and they realize this is where the Lord led them. But to think of where they've come from, agnosticism, atheism, to the Roman Catholic Church, realizing that was the truth, then going to another, an evangelical church, but it was weak on the truth, then trying us out, no, then going somewhere else, and then coming back and realizing this is where the Lord wanted them. The route through which this person went is amazing, but this person had a desire to truth, a real genuine desire for the truth. And all along, the Lord was protecting this person so that they might come and come to know the truth. So we never need to be concerned, even with children who happen to be in a classroom. You know, we can examine the wisdom of whether a child should be in that particular classroom if it's, you know, coated with a lot of people who don't know the Lord. But we don't have to be concerned. If that child wants to know the truth, God will protect that little child, that boy or girl, so that they will get the truth and they will come to know the Lord. My own mother was in a very godless home. And the police actually invaded the home to take the children out of it. But just before that had happened, she had an enormous desire to know God. She was swinging on a swing. It was the swing was facing the Connecticut River, and she was looking up in the clouds that were over the river. And she knew God was somewhere up in the clouds or above him. And she just had a desire to know God. Well, out of that, she was taken into a place down in Haddam, an orphanage. And out of that, she was taken into a pastor's home. And she heard the gospel and came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. So that was a desire that God filled in my own mother's life. And she was age 6. And so God will reach anybody if they really have a desire to know the Lord.